From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk the best words, the worst words, the most words, and least words. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, two people who certainly have opinions on words, if we didn't already know that, Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hello, Kathy Petras, at your home in Armenia, Spain. Hello, Ross Petras, you are there at your home in Toronto. We have another listener question to kick us off today. This from one of our longtime listeners, Todd.
Fletcher, Kathy, and Ross, hello. This is Todd from St. Louis, and I have a question about whether changing a word's placement in a sentence can affect the sentence's meaning. So, for example, my dogs, when I take them out, are on 50-foot leads, and occasionally they get tangled up. So yesterday, the smaller dog, Maddie, she ran around the larger dog, Bodie, twice and got him tangled up pretty bad. So I was thinking about how to correctly convey this. So if I say, Maddie ran around Bodie twice, versus saying twice, Maddie ran around Bodie, I think those are two different things. And the second one also has an implied comma, twice, comma, Maddie ran around Bodie. So to me, Maddie ran around Bodie twice conveys what actually happened. In a single incident, she ran around him two times, he got tangled up. Whereas the second one, twice, comma, Maddie ran around Bodie, that has a different connotation, wherein on two separate occasions, she ran around him and they got tangled up.
Well, first of all, I want to say that Todd has a wonderful radio voice, and I'm very envious.
I know. Watch out.
I know.
Watch out.
No, that was beautifully intonated, I have to say. And I think it's a really valid point. They do sound different. Fletcher, do you want to throw your two cents in on this one or not?
No, I definitely see what he's saying.
Yeah.
He was maybe a little more definite on the twice, meaning it was two separate occasions. I think it could have been two separate occasions, whereas the first one, ran around twice, definitely implies that it was on one occasion. The other one could have been on one occasion or two.
Mm-hmm.
But that ambiguity is introduced there when you put the twice at the beginning, I think.
Right. English can be wonderfully ambiguous. And I think this is a case when indeed it can be. We have basically the idea that in normal English, the word order is subject, verb, and object. Subject here is Maddie, verb is ran around, and then we have the object is Bodie, and then we have twice, which here functions as an adverb, twice ran around Bodie two times. The second one...
Yeah, and the second one, because the adverb's in the first position, it changes the meaning, because it seems like it's modifying the entire sentence, which is Maddie ran around Bodie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's twice Maddie ran around Bodie, as opposed to... Two times, wait, Matt Ratty ran about Bodie two times.
Right.
Yeah, twice.
Yeah, the key thing is in the second position, twice is functioning as an adverb, but here the adverb is possibly, we can't be absolutely sure, which is what Fletcher brought up, but it possibly is working as a sentence adverb. It modifies the entire sentence.
Well, thanks, Todd, for that question. Certainly, you're all welcome to send us your questions, too. You can even send us your voice, as Todd did. We're going to talk today about a pretty interesting Merriam-Webster poll. Now, I didn't see this poll, but the two of you brought it up to me. Can you describe what this was and what we're going to talk about?
They were asking followers, it was on Twitter, to pick certain categories, words in certain categories. And every day, I think it was. Was it every day, Ross? Or was it every couple of days? Whatever. They would say... Pick the most, what is the most overrated word according to you? What is the most underrated word according to you, et cetera? And it brought up lots of really fascinating conversations. So we picked our own and we expect you to pick your own. And we'll see if we disagree with you and can, you know, point the finger of derision or if we could just have a nice, pleasant conversation.
And we also had a problem with some of these definitions. They got fuzzy. We had arguments like, what did that mean? What does overrated mean?
Yeah.
And then we went down rabbit holes of meaning and life, etc. But anyway, let's try to stick keep out of the rabbit holes here.
I don't know.
We were very philosophical.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to be able to stay out of those rabbit holes. I'm not sure I have answers for all of these, and part of it is because I keep falling into those holes, but we'll get to that.
Yes.
Well, the first one that you have listed here that they brought up is the most overrated word. And just to go ahead and dive headlong into one of those rabbit holes right now, it seems weird to me that we can call a word overrated. I would tend more toward overused.
Ah, yes.
Right? Or because, I mean, a word is a word, right? I suppose you could say people are using this word to sound really important when it's not really a very important word.
I think that kind of, to me, was what I think they meant.
Yeah.
Do you agree, Ross?
Yeah, kind of. It's funny because I picked a word that automatically came into my head just as we were talking.
Oh, lovely.
And I think this is more overrated word is hack. I hate people going like, you know, life hacks.
I love you, Ross. You're my brother today. I totally agree.
Because that drives me up the wall. And it's usually things like, you know, 5 hacks to make a better egg. Put butter in the pan and, you know, and fry it, you know?
That kind of hack. Like a life hack.
Yeah, I hate it.
I'm so glad you thought of that. I hadn't thought of that because that drives me crazy. As a little girl, I was a strange child in that, like, I would read hint books, like household hints. I love cleaning and stuff, so it's like, oh, you can do this, and then we called them hints or tips,
and now they're
hacks, and it's supposed to sound, I think, more modern. It's like, instead of saying, like, I need a new hint to clean my toilet better, I've got a great toilet cleaning hack.
Yeah, you know? It's self. We were talking earlier about it, like, it's very self important. I think. I really don't like it.
You've convinced me. I had some other ideas. One of them, this is usually where my biggest pet peeves lie, is in business or ad jargon.
Mm-hmm.
And so my most overrated word or most obscenely overused word is solutions.
Good.
Because everything, you know, you can have your drapery solutions.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a fancier hack, actually.
But
you know?
It doesn't mean anything, you know? Like, I'm not having drapery problems. I don't need drapery solutions. I just need to go and buy some drapery.
A subset of that is for all your drapery needs. You always
have
those ads.
Right,
yeah.
But it's funny when you said that, because that really, I think that's a really good one, because it has that sort of really annoying idea. But that kind of reminded me of, Kath and I debated this, if this is still being used, but a few years back I got really sick of Situation.
Yeah, you used to go crazy.
This is a hurricane situation. This is a hostage type situation.
Right.
You know, it's a hostage
type. Another one, actually, Ross. You just said hostage type. That was another one.
That is too. Yeah.
Yeah, something type this.
You know, I'm really swayed by hack. And part of the reason is solutions is a very fine word. Like, it's fine. There's nothing overrated about that word. People are just using it too much and using it poorly. Hack, in that sense, I think is an overrated word. Like, I don't think that in the sense people are using it, that it has a perfectly, I don't think that definition is perfectly fine.
No, it's not useful.
I think I agree.
Yeah.
It's not useful. I think it came from computers, and I think people think it sounds cool, and then from there, you know, it went into the general language, but I think it's useless.
The problem is speaking as someone who gets myriad emails and stuff, like, you know, with tippy sort of stuff, every other thing is a hack, and you get to the point where it's just dumb. I think it's just stupid. I really do. I hate it. But they had picked Merriam-Webster. Their choice was literally.
You know, I thought of that. I did.
Literally? You did?
I literally did. But I couldn't really convince myself that it was necessarily an overrated word. I mean, the use is changing, right? The definition is changing.
Oh, yes.
Or at least it's we're getting the second definition that's opposite the first definition. But I don't know that the word is necessarily overrated.
I don't either. And in a way, I think it's still sort of useful. I mean, like, you know, that was literally the worst show I've ever seen. It really gives you a feeling of you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ross. I think that the problem with it is the foggy, literally / figuratively issue. And also, for me, I hate it when people pronounce it as literally. I don't know why. That just sets my teeth on edge.
That literally does mine, too. So, okay, let's go to the most underrated word, Fletcher.
Yeah, this one I couldn't come up with one just because there are so many words. There are lots of lovely words that I like to use as well. But I couldn't think of one specifically that I would consider underrated.
The one thing we found in looking at the thread underneath the replies is there were two strands. One was like the sort of cool words we should use more.
Uh-huh.
And the other were more like, you know, what would be the word you'd use for us? They were more like spiritual or something. Like,
yeah, basically sort of zeitgeisty words. Words that are being used that basically indicate like the world isn't as it should be anymore.
See, the reason I couldn't come up with one is that I would tend more toward, you know, here's a word that people think of as an ordinary word, but when it's used correctly, it actually has a really lovely meaning, right? But I'm certain that I have words like that I use when I write. I just couldn't think of a specific answer.
Okay, theirs was different because their most underrated word was no, N-O.
What?
So that sort of felt to us like zeitgeisty. Like, and then someone else put on one of the Twitter things that they had, one of the most underrated words in modern society might be enough in a world driven by consumerism, social media, constant pursuit of more success, more wealth, more recognition. The concept of having enough often gets overshadowed.
I like that. That's quite philosophical.
And then we picked crepuscular instead.
You did. I am no part of crepuscular, Ross.
I like crepuscular. I think it's underrated.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think this is a fool's errand. I don't like this question at all. Underrated word.
Okay.
The next one, though, has an answer. A very definite answer. And this is most confusing word. I'm curious what the two of you have to say, but there is a correct answer here.
Mm-hmm. Ross, you want to go first?
Well, they picked the same word that I would have picked. Well, actually two I would have picked. Nonplussed, they picked.
Uh-huh, that's
and
a good
I
one.
Agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't personally confuse me now because, you know, we know about it. And the other word, these are not personal confusing because we have a personal bemused we picked as well. Mm-hmm. That's really annoying to us.
Yeah.
Because people
But we know what it means.
But we know what it means. People use bemused to mean amused, which is now a second definition, but it basically means really lost in thought about it.
So those are good answers, but those are really answers based on just not knowing the definitions, right?
Right.
The actual answer is inflammable.
Ooh.
That is the most confusing word because
it means flammable.
I mean, yeah, it means flammable. But inflammable should mean not flammable.
And if Fletcher had been paying attention to some of these podcasts with greater degree of he would have finally gotten to his head. And in this case is the Latin intensifier.
Intensifier.
Not the
not.
Yes. 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 But
I know you know it, Fletcher. I'm just
but that's why this is the most confusing word. It actually has that thing on it that's supposed to that we think is supposed to turn it to the opposite. And it doesn't. It just
It does.
It means it's even more so.
Yeah, it just means the thing.
Our personal pick was bimonthly. We both picked
that. Ah, yes.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yes.
We have no idea what bimonthly means
mm-hmm.
because it can be either two times a month or once every 2 months.
Right. Also good. Also good. Maybe slightly, maybe that's 1 and 1A, right? Inflammable and bimonthly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that's very fair. I think that we're all fine.
The one thing I'm curious about is how much is inflammable decreased in use? Because I agree with you, Fletcher. That's just a horrible, horrible word.
I don't think it has it? And now I'm curious.
Could you give a quick shot, Kathy, at Google Ngram and see?
I am doing just that. In the meantime, go up to the next one while
okay,
I'm doing
we have
this.
Personal favorite
oh, yeah.
word, Fletcher.
This is good. And I'm going to, when I reveal mine, I'm going to draw on my history more than whatever my personal favorite word right now might be, because I have no idea what that would be. But there's a word that I loved when I was like 12 years old. And so I will tell you what that is. But I'm curious to hear what the two of you have to say.
Some of these were joint Kathy and Ross ones because
yes.
we worked together.
But Kathy, first though, before you do that, did you find anything out on inflammable?
I did. Thank you for asking, Ross. Inflammable had peaked in 1807 and has gone way down in usage.
Ooh.
Flammable was barely used, and it peaked nowhere near inflammable 1981. Both of them, now flammable is coming down as of 2020. It's still ahead of inflammable, and inflammable is rising slightly.
You're kidding.
No, slightly, ever so slightly. Inflammable is very, very flat. I mean, not flat, but it's close to the ground. But there, it looks like it's twisting. It looks like the trend line, if you will, where I, a stockbroker, I might invest in inflammable at this point.
On that one, I think they should just make it. We don't really think, I mean, flammable is sort of confusing. Even flammable. Why don't we just say burnable? Everyone knows burnable.
I don't like burnable. Yeah? It sounds like Burnaby or something. It sounds like it reminds me of Midsummer Murders.
Yeah, but not everyone's seen Midsummer Murders. Everyone knows the word burn, so I think you should go for it.
I think you should just say, how about if you just say, like, bad hotness?
That's really good, Captain.
Bad hotness.
Flames. I think we're going to use that.
What are your favorite words, guys?
Well, Ross, you already said crepuscular, which we know is one of your favorites.
Gorgeous.
Okay, this is a Kathy and Ross combo, is flens.
Oh,
we love
yes.
using flens.
You do.
Yes. We've talked about that. Similarly, furbelo. Those are the two
and we've talked
joint
about
Kathy and Ross.
Right.
You do love
favorites.
Those words. But you love them for the definitions that you've made up for them, haven't
you? That's the
yes.
weird thing.
Ross and I rarely are like, you know, shredding flubber from
right.
a whale.
So that's what flensing actually is, right? Is cutting the fat off
flubber
of whales.
Flubber from a whale.
Right.
Yes.
But how do you, the two of you use it?
We use it to basically take the fat out of writing that we've, you know, let's say we have a proposal, a written proposal done. And both of us tend to kind of go on and on. And we basically
We're a little verbose.
I know. We use it to basically strip out all the fatty words and make the writing lean, mean, and tough.
And then furbelo, which sounds, you know, like a little stuffed animal or something. What is this?
That's like a flounce, or it's something fancy on a dress, like a little pleated, ruffly, flouncy thing on a gown or petticoat.
But not something that Ross is necessarily wearing all that often. So how do the two of you like to use a furbelow?
Well, for us, that was just putting stuff on, too much fanciness in our writing. Again, it's for us for writing.
So do you flens your furbelows?
Yes, we do.
I sort of see furbelow, though, also as like a little, like basically getting off track, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, but, you know, we're talking about this, and then I'll mention, you know, gee, the weather's really great today. And, you know, then we're talking about words here. We're not talking about weather. That's a furbelow to me.
Yeah, it's like frou-frou, unnecessary yeah. frou-frou.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my personal favorite is propinquity. I love propinquity.
That's lovely. Yeah.
My personal favorite is protean. Which means ever-changing, P-R-O-T-E-A-N. And I don't know, I just love that word. I wrote some letter to someone recently, it was for the library, so I said, my wife goes like, why'd you say protean twice in this? In one paragraph, I had two protean things,
oh,
which
no.
is ridiculous. But I love it. Also, it comes from the Greek Proteus, the first, uh-huh. which I also like. And sometimes I'll joke with Kathy and I'll go Proteus because I am the firstborn.
Well, that means I am Segundus.
Yes.
Well, my favorite word when I was 12.
I want to hear this.
Which I still like. And there's no way, you know, this is nothing that anyone would ever use in a sentence except if they were talking about their favorite word when they were 12. But because of the kind of kid I was when I was 12, my favorite word was pneumono ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis.
Wow. Fletcher,
which
you should have put that.
A lung disease that miners would develop, you know, from tiny particles.
I remember seeing it because that was one of those things you learned when you talked about longest words, but I never even attempted pronunciation. I'm very impressed.
Fletcher, you jumped ahead. That's the most satisfying word to pronounce.
See, it is. I love saying it. Yes, I do.
And I think you should repeat it again. Just say it one more time so we can listen
sure.
to it and enjoy it.
Pneumono ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis.
Wow.
It's actually very lovely.
It is. Nice,
it is.
And long.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sort of a crepuscular word to me.
I think it's propinquity, Ross. It's propinquity.
Well, next is the most satisfying word to pronounce. I also have an answer for this, although it's slightly wrong because I pronounce it slightly incorrectly. But what do the two of you love to say?
We both chose mellifluous.
Oh, yes, that's lovely.
But then, Ross, is this, you also chose that, which reminds me, I'm highlighting.
I mean, I feel, to Fletcher's, I can't even pronounce it. I feel somewhat embarrassed. But I think it was in ninth grade, we learned DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid.
Mm.
And I loved saying, Kathy remembers that, just walking around saying deoxyribonucleic acid. But Fletcher, I'm shamed by your volcanosilicosis or whatever it's called. you got me hands down on that one. Well, I can't even talk about it.
I picked razzmatazz. So I mean,
hey, this is personal, right? This is just your personal favorite word to say.
Yeah. I'm kind of embarrassed to say, though, when the COVID thing was going on and Trump was talking about hydroxy, I loved saying hydroxychloroquine. I just liked how that sounded.
Oh, really? Yeah, that was always really hard for me to say.
Or Dawson, too.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to throw another one out. Kath and I have talked about this before. We both like the word defenestration.
Defenestration
oh,
is very
too.
Nice.
Which
yes.
is yeah. odd, but
that's a really good. I'm not sure. Like, I love to pronounce it necessarily. It's fine, but that is a really fun word. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's your satisfying word to pronounce?
One. This isn't the one that I was going to say, but when you said mellifluous, I think of luminous, which I think really it feels like
beautiful.
Like yeah, it's really beautiful. It like feels like what it is, you know.
Mm.
Like I remember seeing. Renoir at the Boston Museum of Fine Arts. I think that's what it's called, the Boston Museum of Fine Arts. And instantly what I thought was that's the most luminous thing I've ever seen. And just that word
wow.
saying it, like it still brings back that feeling. But my favorite word to say, and I pronounce it slightly incorrectly, but I really like the bouncy rhythm of it, is sphygmomanometer.
Wow.
That is a fun one.
Isn't that a
Fletcher,
fun one?
I'm really impressed with you.
I was
a radio man. That's why.
I was a weird kid. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I think it's actually sphygmomanometer, but I don't care because it bounces better with sphygmomanometer.
That is really good. Yeah, so
that's the blood pressure.
Yeah, the
machine,
blood pressure
right?
guy.
Or,
yeah.
I never. That's one another of those words that I always see, and I just like sphygmomanometer.
That's what I do too, Kathy. I do the same thing. That thing, yeah, the blood pressure thing.
They picked phenomenon, which I don't really feel.
No, but it has that same bounciness that sphygmomanometer does. Mine's just better.
Not really. It's not. Nah.
Phenomenon.
Yeah.
Next up, there are just probably too many for me to choose on this one. This is the word that you don't really know what it means. We could go back to bemused and nonplussed for a lot of people, I think.
We actually did this. We did biweekly, biannual, bimonthly.
Oh, sure.
We did that. Mm-hmm. And we also did you were flammable, inflammable.
Oh, okay.
Those were our two.
But you do know what those mean, yeah.
We do. But this one, Kathy doesn't really know. And I always sort of know it and then I forget it. And this, for some reason, this word is popping up like an evil genius. Syzygy.
Oh, syzygy. That's funny. We just had this in a spelling bee that I ran a couple of weeks
ago. Yeah, they're
ago.
Always in spelling bee. Do you know what it is?
I can't remember now.
I know what it is because I have the definition.
Kath, why don't you read the definition to us?
In astronomy, conjunction or opposition of a heavenly body with the sun.
Yeah, okay.
But
it's
it
used
also,
in algebra as well.
In algebra, it's a technical mathematical object defined in terms of a polynomial ring of variables, N, over a field K. Syzygies occur in tensors at rank 5, 7,
just,
and 8.
Just stop. Just stop. This is why I became an English major in college.
I know. Forget that one.
Well, you know, it's always fun, especially for somebody in radio, to have to pronounce everything in the world. There are some words, though, that just don't click for whatever reason with my mouth. Next up is the hardest word to pronounce.
Okay, I want Kathy to first pronounce. Kathy, we have a little list here. Number 3. You're going to do it correctly for once. Pronounce this word, Kathy. A-P-O... P-L-E-C.
Oh no, you don't have
T-I-C.
That's me.
Hey, Fletcher, could you read that? Could you read the letters out clearly again so we can hear this?
I think I know what you just said, which was apoplectic.
Okay, Kathy?
Apoplectic.
That's what Kathy said. I can't tell you, Fletcher, how many times like we'll get a funny Kathy will go, did you see what the copy editor did? I'm just apoplectic.
That's a shame. I use the word all the time and
she
I cannot
does.
Pronounce it for the life of me.
That is kind of charming, Kathy.
I know. I just love it. It's a wonderful way, though, if she's apoplectic about something, you kind of calm down. You go, well, at least I'm laughing about this. We don't have to worry too much about what the copy editor said.
What about you, Ross? Do you have a word that just trips you up every time?
Kathy is going to laugh at me doing this again. We've basically been doing a fair amount of work on rhetoric in like technical rhetoric, rhetorical terms.
Mm-hmm.
And this word, I'm going to do it wrong again, Kath. Here I go. Synecdoche.
Oh, yeah.
You did it right.
Synecdoche. Yeah.
Synecdoche. My problem is Schenectady is a town up to upstate New York. Well, so I inevitably.
And I've mentioned to you before, there's a movie called Synecdoche, New York.
Yes, you did. So it's
I think that's just brilliant. Whoever came up with that, I think that's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, Charlie Kaufman came up with that. Let me just put in a plug. It may be the best movie of the century so far. So.
Ooh, wow. Okay. Okay, now what's yours?
Okay, so I have two. One is very unfortunate because it's the word considered, which is hard for me to say, and I host All Things Considered here at KMUW. But it's just hard to say when you're talking quickly, considered to get all
considered.
Those. Yeah, I mean, I say I can't get that R in there. Considered.
That's interesting. I don't have a problem
with
that.
Yeah, see, I do. My other one is a very simple word, unless you say it a particular way. We mentioned it earlier. The word is no, N-O. But if you're trying to say it with an Australian accent, it's something like no.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
It's got
like seven vowels at the end with a little bit of an R in there. No. No.
That's interesting.
No. I'm sure all the Australians are going to yell at me now, but I'm not wrong, you guys. No.
Well, you sound like a pirate to me, Kath, I just highlighted a word. You said this word the other day, and I was so impressed.
Prestidigitator.
Yes, I always get that one mixed up too. Like sort of funny
really?
To say. You did. You were talking and you said prestidigitator like that. I thought, wow. I don't use the word.
I'm not just your little sister, Ross.
No.
Finally, this will be nice. A word that is poetry to you.
Well, I already said propinquity, which it is, but the other one I absolutely adore is verisimilitude. I just love how verisimilitude sounds. I like the concept of it. I just like verisimilitude.
Are you saying that right?
No.
Oh, God. Is it verisimilitude?
Vera.
We should put that in your... I know.
Verisimilitude. Oh, my God. I'm apoplectic.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armia, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music, and our digital team is Beth Golay, Kate Hutchins, and Carly Cooper. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also email us a voice memo of you asking it your question. You might get your voice heard on air. If you'd like to do the same thing by downloading the KMUW app, you can do that and just click the Talk to Us button. You can find all of Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.